guys, we just got out of seeing Zootopia, Disney's latest feature film from their, and it was, in my eyes, it's one of the best, it's the best buddy cop comedy since Lethal Weapon. The plot is that you have this small town, rabbit named Judy, and what she does is that she aspires to be this great, you know, police officer and all that stuff, and stand up for the little guys, and she does it, but it has some repercussions, you know. And then meanwhile, you know, entangled in her case that she was given, she becomes entangled with this con artist Fox, you know, and the chemistry of the fox and the bunny, you know, was amazingly, you know, done right. You know, I thought it was gonna be, oh, it's gonna be
forced,
a forced, you know, comedy and all that, you know. The only thing I really know about the film going in was that sloth.
The sloth
trailer.
Very funny.
Yeah. It was still funny going into the film.
Right.
But obviously there were people in the movie theater who have not seen that trailer.
Yeah.
And, you know, started laughing, you know, at the thing, like, they're seeing it for the first time. But overall, I think that this was a cleverly done movie. Surprisingly political. We'll get into that later. Gentlemen, what did you think of it?
It was a great movie. I had a lot of fun with it. And I really... I would probably compare it to Inside Out, and where they took a concept where I thought they were going to be really basic with it.
Right.
And they really, like, you could tell they had a ball just creating
this
society.
They did it justice. I mean, just in the sequences alone where you see, what's the bunny's name again?
Judy Hopps.
When you see Judy just chasing the ferret, and you go through all these different, like, scales of cities for tailor-made for all these different animals, I mean, they really did their homework on
this
one.
Dude, this is, okay, you know how in Bug's Life, all the animals are comparatively the same size?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and versus, you know, in real life, an ant would be this big, and then a dung beetle would be this big.
Right.
You know, and it's, I love how they really contrasted the different sizes of the different animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was a real world...
Which isn't an easy thing to do.
If this was a real city, mm-hmm. like, that's how, you know, proportionate the sized is. You have a J.K. Simmons lion right here, and then you have Idris Elba policeman right here. And then, you know, it's just, you have all these different, you know, elements of it that, you know, seemingly, and it could have easily have been a flop, but what they did right is that it balances itself out with, you know, with witty remarks, witty dialogue, and amazing chemistry between Jennifer Goodwin and Jason Bateman. Did they record together?
I would not be surprised to hear that. From what I understand, it's not too common to get all of the voice actors in the same place, especially if they're celebrities. Only on rare occasions do they actually record together. But I do know for sure that if Lasseter was involved, which he is, you have to remember that on Pixar, they had Billy Crystal and John Goodman together.
And Tom Hanks and Tim Allen
exactly.
together.
So it would not surprise me, because their chemistry was better than anybody expected. In fact, it was almost flawless.
Yeah, and you kind of believe this friendship.
Exactly.
You know, you believe that they have, you know, this unregrettable, you know, thing going on, you know, and I love the fact that it wasn't romantic at the end.
I love
the fact that, you know, it was completely platonic, and at the end of the day, they were BFFs,
right,
so to speak.
It was a theme that was very un-Disney.
Yeah.
Which we get in a lot of different things. I do want to mention something. Props to the animators, because there was a lot of going on. A lot going on in the backgrounds of all of the sequences, and then all the different, like, parts of, like, you have a rainforest area, a tundra area. The animators really did a great job.
They took their time, and they actually put a lot of thought and detail. This is, without a doubt, one of the most creative Disney movies
I've ever seen. I'm going to say it right now. If Finding Dory doesn't live up to expectations, this will be the best Oscar, this will be the animated feature that will win. I'm going to say it right now. If Finding Dory does not live up to expectations, or does, if it's not really great, this will win.
I actually think that they might give it away to this one was, just to this movie solely based on the message alone.
That, which by the way, I don't think any of us were walking into season political debate going.
You know what? Let's talk about that. What do we think about it right off the bat?
Well, I was caught off guard. I wasn't expecting
that. No. Well, the film.
Oh, wonderful. I enjoyed it. Great character.
Really interesting story, because I was actually intrigued, like, what the heck is going on?
Yes, yeah.
But no, like, you fall in love with the characters, the world. It's a really great movie. It's something I wouldn't mind watching again.
Right, it was a good movie. I agree 100%.
Recently, Disney's really been knocking it out of the park.
Exactly.
Going back, probably Princess and the Frog. That's really where they started saying, like, you know what, we gotta get.
We gotta boost up our animation.
Exactly.
You know, looking at it, you know, in a high inspect, I did not enjoy Big Hero 6 as like everybody else did, but I thought it was an enjoyably entertaining film.
It was nice.
You know what I feel about that film? Mm. If they would have taken out the rest of the characters and just focused on Hero and the robot.
Yeah, I think it would have been a solid film.
Exactly, but as we just heard today, they're going to make it into a series, which you need more characters, which is probably the plan. Big Hero 6.
More Stan Lee cameos. Right.
Big Hero 6, I think, was okay. I think we all enjoyed it just fine. But certainly, just to, you know, be blunt here, this film, Zootopia, is really starting to etch a new corner in Disney animation. Because Wreck-It Ralph, what do we have? Tangled and Frozen. And that's about it right now. And then Princess and the Frog. This is the new era for them.
And I saw this trailer, and it said that it is the best, you know, animated film since The Lion King.
I think it was some critic that
said that. So many Disney films have that since The Lion King.
Frozen said, remember?
Said that. I'm pretty sure you can find a Wreck-It Ralph one that said that, or Tangled.
Perhaps.
But, you know, and to put it that into, you know, hindspect into that kind of, you know, into that kind of retrospect.
Are you saying hindsight?
Yeah, that word. Thank you. My living dictionary right over here.
As opposed to your glorified secretary.
Yes. Nah, you're a CEO. Wonderful. You're a CEO.
Wonderful.
Don't worry, mate.
Continue.
But anyway, you know, looking at it, you know, in this kind of retrospect, you know, it having it in such a high regard, because Lion King is one of my favorite films of all time. You know, and
your favorite animated movie.
Yeah. And seeing it brought into this, you know, seeing, you know, because I love The Lion King, and then seeing this, it's just, wow, just a lot of details they got right. You know, a lot of details they got right, you know, the beats, they're, the only scene that I have to say drag on for me was, because I've already seen it, it was with the sloth scene.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that kind of made it funnier, because you two are like, hurry the fuck up.
Right. There were actually some slight variations as opposed to what we got in the trailer. There was a couple of lines that were different.
That's nice. I usually like that.
Which is good.
Yeah, but overall, I think that, you know, well, Lion King did the same thing with the entire opening scene of the Circle of Life was the trailer.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I think that, you know, other than that, I think that the rest was just an awesome contemporary feeling movie. I think that it was. Looking at the streamline of the film, I think that it is an almost near perfect film.
See, I think with that, Kyle, is that you're right on this aspect. Look, Zootopia, I think it's set apart from any other Disney film in history just based on the subject matter alone.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't expecting all of this.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, not this overt.
I would say not this...
on the nose.
Well, I don't know, Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Well, it was playing with it, but I don't think that was the main part of the movie.
But the thing is that, you know, it was already based on Dark Materials.
Yeah, but we know Disney. Hunchback. They'll take a Dark Material and they'll Disney that up.
But even still, I mean, you look at Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Hunchback of Notre Dame is notoriously dark. Even still Disneyfied, it is still really dark you know,
but
movie.
I would say that was the last movie where Disney really went out of their way to take, like, a risk,
you know,
as far as their subject matter.
You know what died today, Peter?
Huh?
Your remake of Song of the South.
Oh,
after
God
this
damn
movie.
It.
Yes.
It's not going to happen.
Mine wasn't supposed to, it was supposed to be a hard R raunchy comedy, goddammit.
A comedy now?
Yeah, it was always supposed to be a comedy.
With anthropomorphic animals running around.
No, but I mean, look, I think we have to really think in part as to why, you know, Disney Animation, like you said, it's on a roll now, which is good for them because aside from Pixar in the 2000s and perhaps maybe from Lilo and Stitch or Princess and the Frog.
We didn't get a Disney animated movie last year, did we?
We didn't. I don't think so, did
but
we?
Other than Pixar,
we did not get
Walt Disney animated. You know what?
Maybe it's because it was two Pixar.
Yeah. Year well spent. If that year was, you know, used on making this film, I think that.
But I think it's becoming more evident that I think Lasseter is more focused with Disney Animation now, because if you look at the past couple of films, Disney Animation has been more consistent than Pixar.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Inside Out was amazing, but apart from that, have any of the other movies been spectacular? And I think, and then when you match them up against Zootopia, Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, Tangled, perhaps even Big Hero 6, if you want to include that one. Think Disney's
Princess
become,
and the Frog?
Yes.
That was still, that was under John Lasseter's reign, too.
Yes. And I, it's really coming out, I feel, it shows that they don't have the direction because it kind of feels like they're having an over-reliance on sequels.
But that is in part Disney's fault. They're really kind of, make some more sequels.
They're not doing that over at Disney Animation, except for Frozen 2, which, I mean, they were dumb if they didn't, because that's a whole different, that was bigger than the Lion King.
We gotta wrap up, or is it dying?
Hold on.
Four minutes.
I'll cut it, and I think I have to delete. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it has been consistent throughout.
Animation, you know? Disney Animation, right?
Yeah. Spoiler talk?
Yes. So how do we feel about all of the slightly racial undertones and the clear message of this movie? I think, for one, this movie had a powerful message.
Yeah.
Okay, but this, I feel this movie could be really interpreted different ways.
It can.
So why don't say out loud what we think the message really was?
You want to go?
I'll have you go first.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter, you can go first.
No, you go first.
Well, I think for
who's
me,
on first?
Who's on really? It's you know, there's really so many things that, like you said, Peter, can be interpreted. But I think it was of the many messages that were being like thrown out there. It's and one that was used as a humor plot device here. You know how they kept saying "give up on your dreams and just settle," and then. That's not something that Judy was listening to. And then when she went ahead and did what she wanted to do, it wasn't how she was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
And I really liked her monologue at the end about how life is so rarely what we expect it to be. And for me, I think that really, it sends a powerful message to me because, you know, I'm someone who expects a lot of things to be a certain way. And then occasionally, I've been known to be someone who gets a little cranky when I don't get my way.
That's an understatement.
But life is full of treasures, and
life
I think
is like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're gonna pick.
But you did know. You see how, when she was saying that, they were showing two kids of different species playing ball together.
Right, right.
Different stuff. As far as the message I feel for this movie, it really is, you know, we are all different people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
Of course
we
not.
Just,
it's a beautiful thing.
If we can just look, you know, look past our differences and look what makes us all the same and try to understand even some of those differences and just learn to understand each other and not rush to judgment other people, whether it be their race, culture, or anything.
Right, right.
And it's, and it's, it, especially what the, in the news, we're having a lot of things with cops and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
And I love the fact that they used cops. You know, right. I love the fact
this
that
movie
the primary
is very on the nose.
Right.
Speaking of on the nose, guys, that Breaking Bad reference though.
Wow.
That was funny. You know, I thought that it's just oblique and all that stuff when he was making the concoction to make all the animals savages. I thought that the guy who was making me being stupid in the movies making a Breaking Bad reference. I'm like, this Jesse, don't, you know, you're
but
gonna
you didn't have to. The movie made it for you.
And then it made it for me. And then all of a sudden he's like, hold on, I'm getting Walter and Jesse are back. And I'm like, this fuck! They made a Breaking Bad reference. And I'm like this, wow, the movie referenced with me.
And you see, I wonder, because you're not the biggest Breaking Bad fan in the car. I wonder what Julio would think of that. I mean, that scene alone would have made the movie for him.
Yeah.
It's like, best movie ever.
Yeah, exactly. It would almost replace Kingsman for him.
For those who do not know, Julio has watched Breaking Bad on Netflix, like, what, 100 times over?
Yeah.
So.
Just science and chemistry.
Exactly. As you were saying about the movie's racial message.
So the racial message, I really liked it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't...
I agree with, for sure.
I mean, it was... Yeah, it made Ben have two on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is just what they needed
right.
for kids to understand this
right.
this concept. Because kids see, you know, cops shooting, you know, who am I... And they don't know who to fucking trust.
Right, right.
You know, and so you see this... You see them, you know, doing this whole... old shtick on, you know, oh, you know, a person is a person. It's kind of like that Horton Hears a Who
mm-hmm.
kind of concept. A person is a person no matter how big or small.
What I like about this movie is, like,
yeah.
they don't sugarcoat it.
They
like,
don't, and I was about to point that out. If they had done that.
Life isn't easy.
Right.
You know, things aren't always how they
right,
seem.
Right.
Sometimes people are just bad. You know, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you make mistakes and you judge people unjustly.
Right, right. Had they done that, it wouldn't have been as authentic.
No, it would have felt really
right.
on...
They had to go there to
yeah.
have made this movie impactful before anybody, oh, they're creating a liberal bias or slant or whatever.
But what I like is that it wasn't like, oh, the predators are the bad guys or the mammals. Or not the prey. Because I feel like other animation studios would have made, one, the clear bad guy.
Right, right.
Yeah, but there was no real clear bad guy until the very end of the movie.
Right, right.
You know, so I thought that was, you know, was pure genius in itself. It's kind of like Skyfall. You don't really get to see the villain until, you know, almost, you know, during the introduction of the third act. You know, so I thought that was a really good element that you got to see within the film.
Right.
And I think that all the references and all that stuff, they even made references to future Disney movies.
See, yeah, that which was clever. Look, we had to point this out. We were having so much fun with all of these references that, I mean, we were, and all, of course, how clever this movie is with the world and then, of course, the jokes. But I think what really made this so surprising, the message we were just saying, is that every time, okay, we would just finish laughing and then it gets serious. And then that we were surprised because, hey, wait a minute, were we just laughing 5 minutes ago?
And then it gets turned on a dime like that and it automatically starts you laughing again.
Right,
but
right.
This is, I think, so different than any other Disney film. Or really Pixar, because a lot of Pixar yeah. films, it feels like this is a kid's movie, but with a more adult message. And they tell it, but they won't talk down to kids.
Right. Yeah,
the
it was a very smart
but
film.
But the way they do it, it almost feels like it's an adult film.
It's an important message, especially in this time for people to hear. It's important.
But I will say that might be one of its downfalls, because as I'd imagine a lot of kids...
Right.
The storyline might be really hard to follow.
Right,
might go over their heads.
It might really go over right. like his head's like what? There's a flower, and then why is she turning? What's happening to like?
It happened really so quickly confusing. At the end. All of the missing pieces that were going on. Yeah, I think
and
that hurt some people. Some kids were
like
confused in the theater.
90% are prey. And, so it's that's why I say it talks more adult.
That's
I
right.
feel than any other Disney film.
I have to say this, that it is the Aladdin of this generation.
Really?
Because...
How so?
Okay, because you had all this modern stuff, and you had all these, you know, all these, all this more advanced way of thinking, like, like Aladdin's main thing was, you know, being a slave to the system, versus this, which is more a racially diverse theme, and also
was Aladdin about being a slave to the system.
Yeah.
Well, that's the genie, and then there the genie, was and then Aladdin
there's
himself.
And there's the subcontext of Aladdin himself.
A slave to the system, which made him poor.
So it was the slave to the system, and, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, reach out of the status quo. You know, and that's the whole message of Aladdin.
See, that's why we have this guy. He knows how to reach. But that's a great connection, though.
And also, this right here is a more, you know, racially, anyway, it's a more racially, diverse, film talking about, you know, the racial diversity issue and whatnot. And I think that, you know, and I think that, also that, you know, the modern stuff, it's blended well from this.
I really like the way they do it.
And I think that it's gonna, you know, I don't know about 20 years from now or anything, but I think it's still going to be, you know, relatable. Right.
And then what's really important is that this movie is more effective than an Oscar boycott, just saying.
Oh my God. But a lot of films that try to be like modern and stuff, like they try to take a very unmodern setting and make it modern.
Right.
And it makes me roll my eyes every time. But because it just hits you over the head with it, like, oh my God. You know, they're singing modern song. It didn't try to do that at all. It took a really different approach.
Hence the name Zootopia.
It's like, this is the modern world. They just happen to be animals. Right. Like, it's not really a joke that they're using an iPod. That's normal, you know,
right.
They're using an iPod.
I think it works better because it's set in modern time. Mm-hmm. You know, because with the modern time, you know, it's more...
It's literally reflecting where we are right now as a society, and it matters more, and it makes it more apparent, which makes the message itself more powerful for people to take seriously.
Yeah,
But I will say, I feel a lot of people on the political spectrum are gonna hate this movie.
Oh, I think Hillary Clinton would love it. I think Donald Trump would completely trash it, say it's the worst movie ever. Calling it right now.
No. The Zootopia needed to build a wall. For
Trump?
All the savages.
Is that true?
Oh my God.
Needless to say. They're all idiots.
You sound like Andrew Dice Clay. You don't sound like Donald Trump. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, never mind. He's like, hey. Never mind.
Okay, what's your Donald Trump?
But, we're gonna build this wall. It sounds like your impression. Never mind. But I guess It's interesting because...
Never bullshit an impressionist.
we haven't even gotten to the strong female character.
The strong female lead. Judy, my God, she was amazing. I thought that she would have been, you know... Because it's Jennifer Goodwin, and the only thing I've really seen her in, you know, fully-fledgedly is Once Upon a Time. And I thought she was just going to be Mary Margaret, you know. Oh, you know, the...
No, that wasn't it.
Flowers.
She was Judy.
There were flowers, though.
Yeah.
I'll look at what a lot of people think of, you know, the movies we watch and stuff like that. And if you look at the past few Disney films, probably even starting with Tangled, but definitely Frozen.
Girl power.
I'd just say definitely Frozen and,
Tangled.
There have been a spectrum of people who say, like, man, they're getting kind of, they're pushing forward an agenda, I would say, a certain agenda. And before, you know, I would say, like, oh, you know, they're crazy, they're just reading into something that's not there. But this one, there's no hiding the message that they're trying to say.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't
They're not trying to bullshit you.
But I wouldn't really call it an agenda. I would call it just,
clever writing.
I think really, it's kind of surreal when you think about this. This movie is so progressive. One of the last things you notice, oh, they had a female lead. Which, I mean, how often does that happen? That's Donald Trump's reaction to the movie.
But I mean, I kind of feel like...
What is this? All right, continue.
I would say we're at the point in our society where I'm kind of really not surprised when we have a female lead. Maybe that's me.
No, the thing is...
Like, a really strong female lead.
Right.
Like,
you know what? It's so...
It at this point, for me, right. it's become pretty common.
Mm-hmm. It's so strong that you don't even notice it.
That's true.
But I would say more so than that, that I just think we're a place in our society
where... I see a bunch of people out there. Oh, Judy Hopps is a Mary Sue.
Oh, my God.
Why do you gotta bring in Star Wars and all that crap?
Well, because, you know, they did it themselves. They had a whole promotional poster with Judy as Rey.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, don't you remember
That's
that?
That's funny.
When it came out, look it
I
up
don't
on
think
it.
I saw that one. But I would
the
say...
The Fur Awakens?
Yeah, The Fur Awakens, I think.
What the fuck?
Okay, voice cast, though, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
I for the most part, most of the people, I didn't really...
While no, were, I didn't get I them, didn't, yeah.
I was like, who is this? It sounds so familiar.
The only people I know...
Jennifer Goodwin.
...is Jennifer Goodwin, Jason JK. Bateman, J.K. Simmons, yeah. Idris Elba.
J.K. Simmons, for sure.
I know Alan yeah. Tudyk. I know Alan Tudyk. He played a couple... He was a couple of characters on Wreck-It Ralph. And he also played the Duke of Wesselton. In Frozen, right. And they also made a nod to that too. I found that very.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did they say?
The Duke, because the guy's name, the weasel, his name was Wessel.
When they said
Duke
Wesselton. They said Wesselton. He's like weasel.
No, they would confuse him. In Frozen, it was Weaselton, but then he would correct them saying it's Wesselton.
And this one, they said Wesselton, and he's like Weaselton.
Right.
That's
yeah.
That's
so funny. That was a little nod to that.
Here's a trick question, guys. So, we all obviously thought a lot of great things about this movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've noted the consistency in Disney animation. Mm-hmm. How does this make us feel about Frozen 2? And its prospects? Because I think none of us are really thrilled about a sequel to Frozen.
I think it's going to be good.
I'm not thrilled about sequels in general.
But
so.
It's not like they don't have the potential to make it a really good movie.
Oh, there's always the potential.
Right.
But I just feel like
it's marketing. They're making it just because they want to keep this Frozen thing going.
I'm not gonna be on board until I learn what the story is.
Let's be honest, that's why it's happening. Because they want to keep Frozen going and going and going.
But if I learn that the story is like if they say the story, I'm like, oh, okay, like this is really interesting. I want to see what happens with these characters and all this. But at this point, there's no story to go from.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of like
back
in the day when they would come out with a great Disney movie and there'd be like three direct to DVD sequels.
I wanna see.
And it's
oops.
Yeah, and it's just not really something that I ever liked. Oh, okay. And it just
They could explore the mythos of how Elsa got her powers, because her parents are...
Well, let's not just pretend here. I think as a film, Frozen had more flaws than Zootopia.
Uh-huh.
So, I think Zootopia is a better film.
Yes, absolutely.
But I do love Frozen. I do think it's a good song.
Of course.
And
a good song.
Funny. That's the only thing that's memorable about that shit.
No, I like the characters.
They had a progressive slant as well with the... I mean, that was pretty... That was like... Kind of for the first time they did the two sisters.
And they made that oblique Disney, you know, anti-Disney message. Right. Like Zootopia.
Exactly.
What's up with new Disney hating on old Disney?
I think it's great because Disney gets a lot of flack for being old fashioned, but really they're as aware. I mean, That's the whole thing. That's the entire appeal about Disney. Even to its founder, Walt Disney, you got to keep going. You got to keep progressing. You got to keep adding these different things to remain relevant.
Mm-hmm. Keep moving forward.
It's
and that
it's
applies to
fashion
film.
Storytelling.
Exactly. Exactly.
In the modern age, mm-hmm. it's always nice.
Anything else before this thing dies on us?
What do you guys feel about negatives?
I can't think of any negatives, honestly. It's nothing that...
The Shakira sequence at the end.
They really push Shakira.
That's right, yeah. I'll consider that a negative.
Really?
Yeah,
you don't like Shakira?
Well, because I hate the voice. So anyone affiliated with the voice, I automatically hate.
I don't think the song was bad.
The voice
I actually
is,
really like
the
this.
The voice is the trash of TV.
The voice?
The
oh, no.
Me.
I thought I'm saying her voice.
Oh, no. Okay. Never mind.
Well, thank you for
wow,
plugging
you hate
that
the
in.
Voice like that?
The voice is completely.
Okay,
trash.
Guys. What? I'm ending it.
Okay, just
watch the farewell season of American Idol. Don't
no.
watch The Voice.
Wait. Watch
screw
neither.
The Voice.
Watch
boycott
neither.
The Voice.
Why do you hate The
I'm
Voice?
I'm boycotting
anyway,
The Voice.
Why
I'm Kyle Lira. This is Alexis Soto.
I'm boycotting
this
The Voice.
This is Peter. And watch Zootopia. All right, we're signing off. Bad. Bye.
Trap.